Said the title of my sermonette today is entitled Finding Joy. And first I want to welcome everyone and say hello during these midst of the holy days. I recently went to one of the doctors who's worked with me over the past 14 years of my spinal issues, and she's done many of the different spinal injections and medications that I've needed, as well as other procedures. And the point of my mentioning this in this sermonette is what she said to me during my appointment. Despite knowing the depth of my spinal issues and pain, she said, "Hey, you look great and you're smiling." And I responded that, you know, this is what I try to do anyway, my routine reset, as I kind of refer to it, each day, regardless of pain and limitation. And again, I'm not saying that, wow, smile through everything, I'm a master at this. This is just something that I always had the ability to do ever since I was a little kid, was at least try to be happy in the moment. It's not always possible. But I know I'm blessed that there's so many things that I can still do, and that's wonderful. Her response to me in a very complimentary fashion was, well, that's kind of like being a human dog. And it sounds terrible on the surface, that kind of a comment, you're a dog. But I think, and I knew what she meant, and it references one of the keys, I think, to human happiness. Despite the world around us, or even because of the world around us, we must find joy in life. Again, not always easy, not saying that just smile and, you know, some trite statement like that. But we know this begins with having a Father in heaven and a future King in Jesus Christ, who have prepared the way for us and paid the price, just as we heard during our Passover observance just a few days ago. Also, each day when you rise, you can choose to be stressed and maybe a little grumpy and despondent at the start of each day. And there are plenty of reasons. We all have them. Exams for those in school, negative financial results for your company or your person. Maybe if you have a company, it's a bid lost to another provider, or an argument with your spouse or family member. And we know for each of us, there are many, many more examples that we can choose to focus on. And when we think about the state of the world today, for that matter, many yesterdays as well. And, you know, I often think about the various wars that we've had in our world over the history that we've been aware of. The American Revolution, the wars in Europe and Russia, France, our own civil war in 1861, various assassinations of world leaders that initiated wars like World War I, Vietnam, Afghanistan, Iraq, Ukraine, Russia, and now Iran. There's so many things that we can be upset about, and we know we've got to pray and stay close to God through all of this. And there was a lady that I met in my years at the city of Boulder, when I was a city manager, who confided to several of us that she couldn't sleep. And it wasn't that she had trouble sleeping, it's because she had some issues, but she said because of the state of the world and her need to read every magazine and newspaper she could obtain. And that's a heavy load to bear and in one's brain in this world. The option, maybe it's a careful curation of news, so you can, as a true Christian, be mindful of the world and events around us that we need to be able to stand watch as we must. And when the situation involves what to us we know is fulfillment of prophecy, we've got to be aware. And we know, as a thief in the night, we must be prepared. However, we cannot and should not become paralyzed with anxiety or throw in the towel with a what does it matter anyway attitude. It just doesn't work for true Christians. Norbert Link recently offered a sermon, well, maybe several months ago to this point, and I really appreciated that, and I know several ministers have done as well. And I think especially for our young people who, while not yet baptized, have attended for some years and with less life having been lived, may become despondent with world events and concerns about the future. We know that's difficult to avoid. Yet God does not want any of us wallowing in the muck of depression about this world. He wants us to draw closer to Him, as we heard just the other day at the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread in Mr. Mitchell's sermon. He wants us to enjoy the birds singing, the goofiness of pets and animals in general, a blue sky, a hopeful unexpected snowstorm, the waves on the ocean, the laugh of our children, and even a good day's work done, that feeling of accomplishment. Those are things that God does expect us to do. Jeremiah 29, and I think I even spoke of this months and months ago, shows us the way. Reading again, verse 11, Jeremiah 29, verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And continuing in verse 12, "Then you will call upon me and come to and pray to me, and I will listen to you." I think one of the challenges we have, as opposed to those who walked with Jesus Christ during his time or encountered him in their villages, imagine what that must have been like, although you didn't maybe have the depth of understanding that we do now, is that we don't always see an immediate return. And we lose hope and possibly faith because we're wired that way. We like to see immediate gratification. And this can make it tough to smile. And yet this is the moment to remind ourselves that if that package we've been waiting to be delivered is delayed, perhaps it will be delivered tomorrow. So try to find joy in the waiting. I know that sounds really odd, but I know I can tell you there have been some things that I've purchased, and my wife knows this, and have waited maybe even weeks, a pen, a watch, or something else. And I learned that the wait, the anticipation, is often more rewarding than actually getting the item and, you know, living with it for some period of time and realizing there's nothing perfect in this world. You know, you're never going to find that, not in this world. And so finding joy just in, you know, waiting for something cool is nice. And you knew I would go to this, I suspect, James 1 and verse 2. We're going to just go through this together. James 1, verse 2. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." And this is really an important message for us, again, in the concept of finding joy in this world, this very imperfect human world, yet that God created, is unless we find joy in all that we face, it's going to be pretty tough to be happy. And God wants us to be happy, because in happiness, we come to Him with sincerity and humility, and we pray to Him and we rely on Him. And as we mature in that way, as we read in James 1, verse 2, well, actually 2 through 4, we're not lacking anything. And this is as we continue to move towards perfection. Continuing in John 15, we're going to read verses 9 through 11. John 15, 9 through 11, Jesus is telling his disciples during this these scriptures that he loves them just as the Father has loved him. And then we see in verse 11, he states, "I have told you this so that that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." And again, God wants us to be happy while knowing that we are separate from this world and that we have our inheritance, our future with him and his son. All will have the chance, we heard this again the other day, but we have the opportunity to apply this filter in our lives today. When all seems lost, when we lose hope, We have His promise. To a young person, this is still tough to swallow, and I offer this, that parents will always hope to shield you from pain and suffering. That's what happens when you become a parent. But the key to happiness is learning to see the good, savor the joy, while accepting the imperfect world that your parents dared to bring you into. For us parents, your very existence is goodness and a gift, and believe it or not, you make this world a better place. This is just reality. I have a few more scriptures. Sorry, for a sermonette, I've added a couple here that I think are really important to us to consider here today. Consider Psalm 16, verse 11. You have made known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Now, David understood that life could be hard and full of sadness and violence, yet he came to trust the Lord, completely in the Lord, knowing that the joy of the blessings of God and the future that he trusted in. In Romans 5 and verse 12, Paul takes us back to the words of the prophet Isaiah and the promise of our Savior. And again, Romans 15, verse 12. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in him. Then continuing the thought in verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're looking for immediate gratification in this scripture, you will be likely disappointed. However, find joy in the little things in life of today, now, tomorrow, and the future is assured to you if you commit to the Lord, the Father, and rely on him always. And we stumble. We will all stumble. And guess what? You have to just get up and start over. And that's the other beautiful blessing from God, is if you rely on him and repent, he gives us the opportunity to start over, to have a do-over. And then finally, our last scripture and our last thought is in Galatians 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And continuing in verse 23, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So back to my original thought and the point the doctor had made. Take a lesson from that dog that looks at you and wags its love and appreciation for you and for all things. The joy of life that we've been given, no matter how long or how much pain we endure, we have his promise.